ashes and grief to bear. What a privilege to bear everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we are. And temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find.
That's Brother Rocky Otwell singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. How true that is. Hello again, this is Gerald Finney. I'm a lawyer who practices in Austin, Texas. I'm also a believer. I base all that I believe on the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us that God is grieved when His churches become incorporated, when they get a 501c3, when they become a legal entity in any way. Churches can operate in America without persecution according to the principles that are laid out in the Word of God. Preachers will tell you, well, my conviction is that it's all right to get incorporated and get a 501c3. Well, you have a bad conviction, my friend, because your conviction is contrary to the principles in the Word of God regarding the organization of His churches. In order to understand that, you have to look at what incorporation is, what 501c3 is. You have to look at the principles in the Word of God to have the spiritual discernment to know that you are grieving our Lord when you use any of those devices as a church. I will now continue my systematic study of these issues. In this first 15-minute segment, the topic will be God Desires Nations to choose to glorify Him. I'll open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I want to love you more. Father, I pray you would guide me now and direct me as I teach on the subject, church and state law. And upon this topic, God desires nations to choose to glorify him. I'll give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As I have taught in prior segments, the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, deals extensively with nations and shows that God ordained nations, that he is over every nation, but that he gives every nation a temporary choice of whether to submit itself to the sovereign God. I'm going to give you some verses, and there are many others that prove that God is over all nations and wishes each nation to choose to glorify him. Deuteronomy 32:8. When the Most High divided to nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. I suggest that you read Psalms 2 in its entirety. I'm going to read a few verses, Psalms 2:10-12. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they which put their trust in him. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalms 100:1-3. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Psalms 113:4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 20:26. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the wheel over them. Proverbs 20:28. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Proverbs 25:5. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Isaiah 40:15-17, 22-24, and 26. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Also, I suggest that you see the entirety of Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7:28 says, But thou, Jeremiah, shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth.
Jeremiah 18:7-10 says, At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Paul, speaking to those at Lystra who would have worshipped Paul and Barnabas because Paul healed the impotent man on his first missionary journey, said in Acts 14:15-17, and saying, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Paul said in his sermon on Mars Hill, as recorded in Acts 17, verses 24 and 26 through 30, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Obviously, civil governments still exist and still have responsibility under God to rule for him. But he still gives every civil government a choice of whether to go by his or Satan's principles. Roger Williams wrote this, and I give the cite in my books. The civil magistrate ought to cherish as a foster father the Lord Jesus, in his truth, in his saints, to cleave unto them himself, and to countenance them even to the death, yea, also to break the teeth of the lions who offer civil violence and injury unto them. Sadly, civil governments do not choose, at least for any significant period of time, to be under God to guide their actions by his principles. Patrick Henry, who led the fight in Virginia against ratifying the Constitution, and was a great defender of the Baptists who were persecuted in Virginia, even though he was in favor of a state church, understood this. He said this, Where are your checks in this government? Your strongholds will be in the hands of your enemies. It is on the supposition that your American governors shall be honest, that all the good qualities of this government are founded, but its defective and imperfect construction puts it in their power to perpetrate the worst of mischiefs should they be bad men. And, sir, would not all the world, from the eastern to the western hemispheres, blame our distracted folly in resting our rights upon the contingency of our rulers being good or bad? Show me that age and country where the rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of their rulers being good men without a consequent loss of liberty. How prophetic were the words of Patrick Henry. I know that you probably haven't heard that quote. This is one of the problems in America. We have been fed a revised history, not only by secular writers and teachers, but also by quote-unquote Christian writers and teachers. We need to know the whole history of America, and we have not been taught that. I'll be getting into the history of the First Amendment later in these broadcasts. I have articles on my blog and on my website dealing with the history of the First Amendment. I give many, many facts that I had never heard before. I had read extensively of the quote-unquote Christian history of America by Christian writers. It became very alarming to me when I found that those writers had left out many, many very important facts concerning the history of the colonies, the history of America. In my books that deal with this, I give the cites to all my authorities for the facts that I present to you. Christians in America need to wake up. But really, first, they need to get their churches straightened out, and that's what this program's about. Our time is almost up, so let me again mention that I have a website, churchandstatelaw.com, also a blog that deals with separation of church and state law. On the website are links to all my blog articles, as well as many other resources that will be very valuable to you in your biblical studies. I will be back after the break, and I will begin a study of Israel, the only theocracy ordained by God.